if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 22. We're going to read from verse 21 to 30. So preceding the start of verse 21, Jesus is serving communion to his disciples, and then Jesus responds by saying this to his disciples and starting at verse 21. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater? The one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." I'm also going to read the NASB version. I mean, sorry, the Message version. "Do you not realize that the hand of the one who is betraying me is at this table, is at this moment on this table? It's true that the Son of Man is going down a path already marked out. No surprises there. But for the one who turns him in, turns traitor to the Son of Man, this is doomsday." They immediately became suspicious of each other and began quizzing one another, wondering who might be about to do this. Within minutes, they were bickering over who of them would end up the greatest. But Jesus intervened. "Kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you. Let the senior among you become like the junior. Let the leader act like the part of the servant. Who would you rather be? The one who eats the dinner or the one who serves the dinner? You'd rather eat and be served, right? But I've taken my place among you as the one who serves, and you've stuck with me through thick and thin. Now I confer on you the royal authority of my Father, conferred on me, so you can eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and be strengthened as you take up responsibilities among the congregations of God's people." Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you and we offer this morning to you, Lord. And despite us doing this virtually online, we know that you are omnipresent. And so you're with each and every one of us right now. And Lord, we just ask this morning, would you minister to us? Would you reveal to us your truth? Give us revelation to really understand your truth, not just on the surface, but deep in our hearts, Lord. Help us to be self-aware so that we can bring wholeness and transformation into our lives so that we could bring glory to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So again, the situation is a sombering moment, and Jesus is doing Passover with his 12 disciples, and he's just shared this, I guess, very sombering news, and it's prophecy, right? And that is one of the 12 disciples who are there right now eating with them is going to betray Jesus. And as soon as they find that out, it says in verse 23, they began to question among themselves which of them it might be and who would do this. And so essentially, as soon as they find out, almost like a game of, except it's not a game, but like a game of mafia starts. And so basically one person in the room is mafia, and that mafia is Judas, and no one knows who it is. And so they just begin to, maybe initially they're like, am I the mafia? Oh, I'm not the mafia. And then they start to point the finger. Are you the mafia? And they begin to list reasons like, oh, I think you're maybe the mafia. Remember when you did this? Remember you did that? Or you're the one who's going to betray, right? And they're just, you know, just pointing the fingers and finding out who it is, trying to figure out who it is. And this is the last night, the last meal that they're going to have with Jesus. And that's our natural, right? It's our natural that when we are accused, when we think, if we're questioned or we feel like we're guilty of something, our natural, in our self-centeredness, we like to protect ourselves. We don't want to be wrong. We don't want to take blame. And we start to point fingers. And this has happened since the beginning, right, with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11 and 13. God says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And so the man says, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And so we see, yeah, even at the very beginning, God asks, who did this? Who ate from the tree? God says, it's a woman. Then God asks the woman, was it you? And the woman points, oh, it's the tree. And this is, I think, part of our nature, right? It's natural. None of us want to be accused of doing something, even if it's true, right? And we need to be on guard from this type of defensive behavior, right? And this applies to all of us, especially, you know, in your work situation and even in your personal life and husbands and wives. I mean, one of the things that we learn in premarital class always is do not, when you're faced with, I guess, not confrontation, but when you're trying to resolve something, stick with that issue, right? And don't try to bring other things into it, because that's our natural. What happens when someone says to you or says, hey, this is just a much more simple example, but hey, how come you didn't put away, I noticed you didn't put away that plate, you left it on the table, right? And when someone asks, it brings that, I guess, accusation towards you, even if it's true, the natural's like, how about you? You left that thing on over there. I remember last week, you know, you left your bowl out and I was the one who actually put it away. And so it's so natural when we're feeling self-centered and defensive and insecure that the first place we go to is blame. In verse 24, it says, shortly after they're doing this, of just trying to figure out who is the mafia, who is the betrayer. In verse 24, it says, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, right? It's their last meal. It's the last meal. It's Passover. And they're spending all this time pointing the finger, and then they transition from pointing the finger to who the betrayer is, they're saying, who among them is the greatest? And you think after spending 3 years together with Jesus, walking with him, receiving his teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, and, you know, blessed is the one who is poor in spirit. Blessed are those humble in heart. And at this moment, last night, they're disputing among themselves who of them is the greatest. I mean, Jesus could have just crushed them, right? And just ended the argument and said, I am the greatest, right? And then they'd be like, oh, yeah, that's true. You're the Messiah. You are the greatest. But he didn't do that, right? And, but all to say, also, this type of behavior when we're so self-focused and self-centered, one of the things we like to do is we take credit. We take credit where we don't deserve to take credit. We love to be known. And we see this, let's use Moses as an example. Let's look at Moses. In Numbers 20, verse 9 to 12, it says, so Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. So in this verse, Moses takes his rod. The people are complaining, oh, I'm so thirsty. I want water. This is after, like, you know, many miracles of provision. And so Moses, at this point, he's probably pretty fed up. And he's instructed by the Lord to speak to the rock. But instead of speaking to the rock, he strikes the rock. And so he doesn't do exactly as God instructed. And what is the result? Well, the result is actually the miracle does happen. So the water comes, it says, the water came forth abundantly. But then at the end, after that miracle, the Lord said to Moses, because you have not believed me and to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land which I've given them. Because of what you did, you do not get to lead your people into the promised land as I initially planned. And initially, when I first heard this and first read this, I was always like, kind of almost scared. I was like, oh my gosh, because he didn't do things to the T, right? He didn't do it exactly. Was it so bad that he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock, right? Like, God, you still did the miracle, but as a result, like, he couldn't fulfill what was planned for his life, which was to lead his people into the promised land. And it's like, and that made me worry. Well, what if I hear slightly off? What if I'm not doing things exactly as you wanted? Then am I screwed, right? Is that whatever you have planned for my life, is that going down the drain? And I thought that was kind of harsh on Moses, kind of unfair. But then as I looked at this verse more, I realized maybe it wasn't just the fact that he didn't completely fulfill God's commandments accurately, right? Maybe it wasn't because he struck the rock instead of just spoke to the rock. In fact, it's maybe the very root of it, because when we're talking about God, what he knows about others, what he knows even more clearly than the action is what is going on in the heart. And then in verse 10, it says, this is what actually Moses did before he struck the rock. He actually made a speech. And it says, Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for out of the rock? And so what's wrong with his statement? Moses started as a man who was super insecure, who didn't even have the courage to go before Pharaoh and speak. And he had to basically be reassured that God would give him the words. And to now, when he stands up in front of the assembly and he says, listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? And so when he says, shall we, he's talking about himself and Aaron. And so what's different now is he's taking the credit for what's being done. He should have said, shall God bring forth water for you out of this rock? Instead, he says, shall we? Like, almost like, yeah, I have the capability. So even here, we see with Moses, very subtly, he started off as the most, he started off so humble. He was the most humble man. And he was so insecure. And then now he built up all this confidence. And very naturally, he started taking credit for where credit was due. And again, so as the disciples are arguing over who is the greatest, I'm sure they're all listing their credentials. You know, Peter, I walked on water. And they're arguing, Jesus puts a stop to it. And he did it in a way that displayed what he was trying to accomplish. And what did Jesus say? He said, well, first, don't be like this. This is what the world wants. The world wants authority and power, and they want to take credit. They want to be call themselves benefactors. So basically, they want credit, right? Like, oh, they want people to, there's titles behind it. Maybe they're called philanthropists. So that's what it means when they want to be called themselves benefactors. But Jesus says, you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the ones who serve. Sounds familiar, right? Greatest among you. So the senior shall be called the junior. First shall be last. And the one who rules like the one who serves. You shouldn't be like the one who's ruling with authority. You should be like the one who's serving the people who are ruling. And Jesus asked this question, who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? And I really like the Message version. And it says, would you rather be the one sitting at the table eating the delicious food at the restaurant? Or would you rather be the one who serves the food? Of course, when I read the Message version, it's like, oh yeah, of course, I want to be the one who eats the food. Would you rather, and then I was like, oh, would you rather be the one who receives the massage, or would you rather be the one who gives the massage? I think most of us, myself especially, because I have, my hands get sore when I do this, but I'd rather be the one who receives the massage. But Jesus says, but I am among you as one who serves. I am among you as one who serves. And preceding this, he had just gone on his knees, picked up his disciples' feet, and he washed them. So he demonstrated, he modeled this. I am among you as one who serves. And this is, Jesus is teaching us, this is how we go from self-centered attitude to God-centered attitude. Self-centered attitude, we want to point the finger, we want to blame, we want to take credit, right? Oh, and we want to be puffed up and look good. But Jesus says, no, that's not the attitude that you should approach things. You need to do it with a servant heart. And this attitude is, it can be life-changing. It takes the pressure off you. And I just want to make one thing clear. We're to have a servant heart. We are to serve one another. And this is the attitude and posture we're supposed to have. But our identity is not as a servant. And notice Jesus doesn't say, but I am a servant. He says, but I am among you as one who serves. And so our identity is still as sons and as daughters, but our attitude and posture we are towards one another is one who serves. And this can be life-changing. This was something that was life-changing in my life. And when I shifted my attitude from one of doing well, doing excellence, to one where I simply just wanted to serve. And years ago, I remember, even before House Church started, House Church had started, and I always found it really difficult to lead. I didn't know what it meant to lead. Well, I kind of knew, had an idea, but I found it really difficult. And part of that difficulty was, I think I wanted to be competent. I wanted in a house church setting, I wanted to be competent. I wanted people to have a good time, and I didn't want the discussion to have awkward silence. So I wanted it to be very full. And I remember it was hard. It almost felt like I was always trying to be something that I wasn't. And then it wasn't until 1 year where I was supposed to co-lead with Pastor Mate. This was the first Bloom mission trip, Bloom Cambodia mission trip. And I was supposed, he asked me to co-lead with him. And I said, oh, okay, let me pray about it. Because initially I had signed up just to be part of the trip. But he in the end asked me to co-lead. And I said, okay, let's co-lead. And then about, I think, a few weeks into it, He basically says to me, hey, Kenny, I know we're supposed to co-lead, but I got to take care of this worship part, which is actually not a part of the Bloom part at all, or very little, just in the morning. So actually, the way we're going to co-lead is I'll take care of the worship, which is at this other church, and for the whole day, and you can take care of the Bloom part. So I was basically going from co-lead to lead, and initially I was like, oh, I really don't want to, but I finally said, okay, I'll do it. I mean, it's hard to say no to Pastor Nate when he's so nice, and so I said, okay, and, something I was wrestling with God, and then finally, God led me to the verse where Jesus says to his people, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. And that idea of the motive, what was Jesus's motive behind all he did? Was it just to be right? Is it just to, bring truth? I mean, yeah, of course he came to bring truth, but the motive and approach he did it all was to serve, not to be served. And when I realized that, it changed my whole perspective. It totally changed the way I led. As it's like something clicked as on this mission trip leader, as a house church leader, where suddenly before I was so concerned about, people wanting to have a good time, and even me being a good leader, a good speaker, and presenting things well, to simply, I just wanted to take care of my people, right? And so on the Bloom trip, my attitude totally shifted. And I just was always trying to take care of my people, thinking of ways where I could position them to experience God and take care and love the mission organization that we were partnering with. And it was so easy. It was so easy. It was so gratifying. And we need to adopt this attitude in all that we do. And even for myself, even though I'm a father, I'm a husband, and as a father, I'm the gatekeeper, I'm the head of the household. But even then, I need to serve my family. I need to serve my children, right? And it's not always simple to adopt that attitude, because even with my children, oftentimes I feel like, as I'm reflecting, I want to be right. I want them to listen to me, right? Because I'm right. I know better than them. So, I just want to correct them. That's the easiest thing. Danielle, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't treat your brother like that. I mean, in itself, those ideas are correct. But am I doing it with a heart to serve? And you can see this even at this moment with Jesus. He could have just, again, he could have put his foot down and said, you know who the best is? I'm the best. Instead, he chooses to be so gentle. He wants to serve them. And so he gently teaches, connects with them, encourages them, and serves them. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us right now. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes to pray. And let's allow the Holy Spirit just to reveal to us, are we adopting this posture and attitude of a servant heart, where we're serving at our workplace? Are we trying to take credit? Are we trying to point the finger so that we don't look bad? Or are we there to serve? I was even just reminded, to be honest, even just recently, you know, we've been doing this live stream, me, P. Sam, and P. Nate are like working pretty hard to put this service, and it's been, I think, pretty smooth and good. And part of me, there's this pride, like, oh yeah, the three of us, we did it. We put this whole thing together. But that's not what it's about. I mean, it might be true, but that's not the heart and attitude. I should not be taking credit, right? Because I'm like, the opportunity that presented itself was, wow, I get to serve my church in this way. And so again, what is our attitude? What is our motive? Our work, the way we treat our family, the ministry, our house church members, our house church leaders, do we have an attitude to really serve them? So as Samuel and Cardia lead us in worship, let's just go before the Lord. If you're not taking this posture of serving, just repent and let's turn back to God and commit to having, just doing what God instructed, right? His commandment, love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that'll bless your heart. A song in itself, it's not what you had required. You search much deeper within, to the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Yeah, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for everything I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve.
Yes, Jesus, it's really all about you. It's all about you. And we just thank you for the reminder, Lord, that it can be so easy to be distracted, just like the disciples, by circumstances that come up, by just things in our lives where we so easily make it about ourselves. We want to take credit for things. But there's a better way, Lord. And it's really not to be, and it is to be centered, how we can really move back to being focused and centered on you is to really have that servant heart. A servant heart, obviously, to serve you, God, but also those around us, the way we approach things in our lives, God. Yeah, just thank you, Lord, that you're so gentle, just as we see with the disciples as well, in the way you lead them back and lead them to a better way, God, and help us, Holy Spirit, and just remind us to adopt this posture of serving, and especially during those stressful and anxious times, God. Even in spite of our circumstances right now with COVID-19 and even in our church, Lord, when, after what we just experienced, Lord, that we wouldn't be like the disciples where we would just point fingers or even take credit for things we may or may have done. But we would just have an attitude to serve, have an attitude to love one another, God. Really help an attitude to encourage, support, and restore. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to our slides and let's pray together. Let's cover our community. Let's pray for those suffering from cancer, as well as those who are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray that God would comfort them. Let's pray that they would have the strength to continue and not give up and to have hope. Next slide. Okay, let's also pray and lift up those who are suffering from illness, but even more importantly is that they would really be able to receive word of salvation into their lives. Let's pray for opportunity, softening of hearts. And let's also not only pray for the people who need salvation, but pray for those on the list who are connected, who are have relationship with those people who are in need of salvation, that they would be used, that they would not take time for granted to share with those people. Right. Let's pray for, let's cover those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's just pray for full restoration. Pray for revelation. I mean, oftentimes our infirmities, our sickness is connected to deeper inner emotional issues or and spiritual issues. Let's pray for revelation. People would receive a restoration both inside and out. Next slide. Let's pray for those listed on the jobs. Pray for God's provision, for open doors, for them to really make use of this opportunity where they do have time to draw close to God as well. Next slide. Let's go to our weekly prayers. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival, the churches, Sports Service International, Shanti, YMYM, Toon Moon, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in distress, and obviously with COVID-19, in Hong Kong. Let's just cover Hong Kong. Let's cover the staff. P. Sam, P. Nate, Pastor Salma, P. Ken, Mary, P. Andrew, Tim, Mon, Ash, Lisa, Rachel, Cadence, Caleb, Donald, Sally, Trish, and Ben. And also, you can pray for our staff meeting today as well as we're meeting. Let's also cover the hospitality ministries, welcoming led by P. Andrew, and also Barista led by Ashley. Can pray just for a lot of wisdom and direction, especially for the leaders, especially with our church resuming in the horizon, how to be smart about things, what's a correct way to go. Let's cover the worship. Worship led by P. Nate, the sound that's led by Conrad, and the AD team led by me. Let's cover these ministries. You can also pray for this Sunday's worship, sound and AV as well. Let's pray for the house churches meeting tonight over Zoom still. Let's pray for that, you know, God would still be able to use technology for people to really connect, be people to be encouraged, people to still be inspired. Let's cover the house churches. Father God, we just thank you for today and your word, and that's the attitude that we're to have when we accomplish your will to go about our life is to do it with a servant heart. And so, Lord, would you just remind us and lead us today that everything we do, everyone we interact with, whether it be our colleagues, our boss, our spouses, our children, our friends, our house church members, we would adopt an attitude where we want to serve them. It's not about ourselves. It's not about us being comfortable or feeling right. It's about us serving them. And so, Lord, Help us to keep this attitude in check. I know it can be really difficult. It can be so easy to forget. But remind us, God. And as we do this, we would, yeah, really be able to relate with the attitude that you have too. This is the attitude that you have even with us right now. Even right now, Lord, you continue to serve us by praying for us all the time, Lord, by being there for us, always so available. Yes, Lord, help us to be more like you. We thank you, Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.